All right, welcome to it. Today we're going to come straight out and welcome you to Black Life. We're not even going to go into that whole thing about how it's about cars, girls. What do we talk about? What do we say, Vilmarie? It's about people, girls, relationships, gadgets, and from Gassi to the
birds. Nice stuff.
Yeah, okay, well,
good stuff.
We're in the burbs today, from all the way from Gassi. Vilmarie's here. Welcome.
Hello, thank you.
All the way from the burbs is Mr. Kuzwaya Peteni. What's up, guy?
What's up, Mesh?
Oh, go call the microphone. No, I mean, have you forgotten how radio works?
Oh,
happy Friday, Mesh. Vilmarie, hello.
Hello.
I see it was your turn to hook us up with some African time there.
Hey, I still made it on time.
No.
She's really been tainted by Bonamisi. This blessing really has rubbed off on her.
Well, talk
I always thought
he?
That, you know, I don't know. Maybe he'll be here. Maybe he won't. We'll pray that he's not so we can have a decent show.
So are you guys going to take a bet as to what time he's going to arrive? Last week
he's not coming.
He's not coming.
I'm saying he's not coming. I don't know.
I say he's going to come. He's going to pitch up at around 10 past.
Okay.
Which is in about 2 minutes time. So we'll probably see him then.
I'll say 25 past. He'll waltz in here.
25 past.
Yeah. Can you lock the door?
Probably. I think. You know, he doesn't come inside. He's always outside by the window. So that's probably where he is. But today we have visitors, so let's not just talk as if we're just talking amongst ourselves. Please, who has got their... Oh, it's a Windows laptop starting up. You can hear it. Is it got that circle going around? It's thinking. Am I awake? Am I not? What's happening? You know, MacBook doesn't make those funny sounds. You just open it and it's on.
Listen, I've got to say something.
The haircut.
You're looking really nice.
He's looking 25, eh?
It's a CR7, Cristiano Ronaldo 7 haircut.
Is
even
it?
With the line on the
it's
side.
It's a mixture of Nelson Mandela and Cristiano Ronaldo.
Oh, okay, thanks. I was actually going for that particular look. I wanted to have like a modern Nelson Mandela.
But you should never say that.
Who's a sports commentator? There's a sports commentator.
Thanks. Who's a sports commentator?
I own it. Don't give it away.
It's not Ronaldo. It's not Mandela. It's me. Which sports commentator
are
you talking
about? The guy from Ghana. He's always got like the special haircut. I just forgot his name.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so if we get the lady who was here last week from... What's the place that
does... Laser Boutique.
Yeah, we get him just a bit darker. All
I'm right. thinking he should put an SQ in his hair. Cut it for Speed Queen.
Wow. I see how my wife feels about that.
Yes,
you know?
Awesome. She should like me by now.
Yeah, I think she likes you enough. But, you know, tattoos and SQ in my hair might be a little bit of a problem. Anyway, gentlemen, well, welcome to it. How are you guys doing? We've got Lerato Masha.
I'm
in
good.
The studio. How are you doing?
I'm good. And yourself?
You didn't come by yourself though, did you?
Who
are you with?
I came with Ntate Velindaba.
Ntate Velindaba?
Yes.
Okay. So which one do you say first? I said Velindaba.
Yes, Velindaba is the name.
You know when you say it like once, Velindaba, it's like...
Oh, it should sound like
a
one.
A story has come up.
Oh.
But that's... That, okay, anyway.
We'll get there. Yeah, but there's we'll lots to learn.
And if you put a P in front of the V instead of a Veli, it's Pelindaba, which is then like Attridgeville.
That's where I was born.
That's where you were born, Peli. Kopeli.
Lots to learn.
In fact, tell me about that. You were born Kopeli.
Yes.
Back in 19 what, 79?
Was 79.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then what happened?
I was born in Trinityville, 79, and then my parents moved to Mamelodi, and that's where it all started.
So you're 36.
I'm turning 36.
You're turning 36.
In
when?
September.
Okay.
Yes. Speak into the mic.
Yes.
Not
yes.
over
Sorry.
The mic.
Sorry.
Not away from the mic. Into the mic. But there's a reason why you're here.
Yes.
You're here because you manage and run basically two plants for NAMPAC.
Yes.
Two of their biggest plants in Gauteng.
Yes.
Awesome.
And what do you make there at NAMPAC?
Well, the two plants, namely, they are NAMPAC tubes and NAMPAC Megapack. With NAMPAC tubes, that's where we make your oral care tubes, like your toothpaste tubes, Colgate, GSK tubes, Aquafresh, or whatever you see on the stores that's got an Aquafresh name.
Or Colgate.
Or Colgate.
So basically all the toothpaste that we use generally amongst us.
Yes, they'll be from NAMPAC tubes.
It's from NAMPAC tubes.
And then Megapack is quite a different business. What we make that side is that we make crates, your SAB crates, your confectionery crates, your glass crates, and we also make drums from 25 liters to 220 liters. So it's quite hectic.
What kind of drums? Like drums I can play with drumsticks?
Sorry, bad. Drums for transporting liquid.
Oh, okay.
It could be chemicals. It could be starch. It could be... Yeah, it's a lot of stuff. Yeah. And that's a super mega plant compared to the tubes plant. Yeah.
Okay. I think I heard the squeaky voice
yes,
one.
Yes, I meet you, but I see he's also cut his hair. What is it? Okay. Like a bait or something?
I think he wanted to look more manly than he sounds, but he's gone away.
Sorry,
it's fine.
Lerotti. I'm an
no problem. No problem.
Nonetheless, so basically, yes. your whole thing that you do from day to day is you make how many tubes and how many of these drums do you make? Let's say in a period of a week.
In a week, in terms of tubes, we make on average close to about 2 million to 3 million tubes a week.
Wow.
When it gets to drums, that's a tricky business.
So 2 million tubes a week.
2 million tubes a week. That's what we make on a month. On average, if you're doing well, we can do about 15 to 16 million tubes.
That is a lot.
It's quite a lot because we're trying to cover 54 million South Africans that are out there. Plus, we do exporting on the tube side to the Eastern Europe side, Poland, wow. New Zealand, Australia. So we're not bad. And then on the crate side, it's a different business because there you talk about cycle time. So one crate could easily take you a minute. So in a day, we average around 10,000 crates and we run 7 days a week.
So if it wasn't for you, we would not be able to buy beer and then brush our teeth afterwards.
That's why I've got a problem with you guys, because normally people see your faces, they don't see my faces, but
nobody
yet they use my
thank
product.
You. Thank you for the fact that I got my court today. Thank
exactly.
You that I brushed my teeth.
Exactly, exactly. Or you got your court of beer anyway. So yeah, that's it. Yeah.
But then tell me, like, how did this come about? I mean, what did you study to do this sort of thing? You know.
Okay.
What happens?
At an undergraduate level, I did industrial engineering. So basically, industrial engineering prepares you for this type of industry. So you deal with processes, you deal with equipment, you deal with people. And basically, your job. I remember when I applied for a bursary at IDC and I had to write up an essay. And I said, guys, I just want to be a doctor of an industry because there's a lot of problems within the industry that I have to fix. So you can look at industrial engineer as a doctor of an industry.
Oh, okay.
So whatever issues they have,
you
it's basically
it.
My job to fix and make us more efficient.
That's so you're an industrialist.
I am an industrialist.
No, an industrial doctor, man.
Yeah.
Don't dilute it, man.
No, I hear you, industrial doctor. But you know the term industrialist. I see those guys, you know, with their big hats and cigars and
no,
and
I'm not one of those.
The three-piece suits, sitting in those men's clubs, drinking whiskey in the middle of the day, and they're industrialists. You know what I mean? They own a whole bunch of industries. That's what you do.
It's not as glamorous as you putting out to be. You know, and normally people ask me in the street, so Masha, what do you do? I'm like, I work in the factory.
Okay, so you put on overalls.
That's it.
And
safety shoes.
Safety shoes.
Operations manager.
Earplugs.
And
that's
earplugs.
What I do. No glitz and glamour.
Yeah. Mr. Masha.
That.
Oh, guess who's here?
Yeah, boy.
Mr. Masha, are you by any chance related to Tumisho Masha?
Hey, welcome.
It's not. You said.
Are you? Are you by? When I saw Masha, I thought, you know, this family thing must come to an end. This
family
is nepotism. It's can come to an end, please.
There's no such thing as nepotism.
Can you let the man answer? Are you related to this Masha? Because clearly the looks went to you and not to the other Masha.
I always say that success breeds success. You know. So yeah. We are related.
It's not true,
Tumisho. We are related.
Thanks for yeah.
Nepotism, Tumisho.
See, I'd rather hear a woman say that about me than
nepotism.
A man. But you keep wanting to
nepotism.
To speak on RBC about looks and those sort of things, as if your opinion of those things matter to me. How are you?
Yeah, look, Zozi was the only one who felt sorry enough to keep those looks. But anyway, we won't go there.
You do too badly for making someone feel sorry, eh?
Romary, by the way, I heard your bet, eh? So I clearly heard who won the bet.
What bet is that?
Huh?
What bet is that?
Did you hear what
listening? Time so and so would come back? Eh?
Oh, yeah. Okay.
I heard
so
that.
So you were sitting in the car listening.
I was listening.
You were late.
And I was like, listen to these
car.
Two mumishes here.
And then you walk in and you start by greeting,
you know,
announcing to everybody
no,
that you're
industrial
party,
doctors.
Like
I mean, come on. Eh?
So
and
what
the engineers were on time, eh, by
you,
the way. The engineers were on time.
Oh, the other Masha joins in.
Precision engineering. I was on time.
Well, you weren't on time. You were like way early, actually. So being on time is arriving like when I did, which is just before the show started, at exactly half past.
No, I was on time.
You were at the time the show started, right? Because I was
the ones both Vilmarie and Tumisho arrive on time, and now the whole world revolves around them being on time.
The reason why we keep you outside is because you are always late.
Ah.
So we keep your mic outside so you don't have to make a noise as you walk into
the studio. I feel sorry for you, so that's why I let you run the desk now and then. You know?
Oh, okay. Oh, thanks,
so
please.
We locked the door.
Oh. All right, so have you got anything smart to add to the show today?
Yeah, I must commend the Mashas. You know, there's engineers, there's actuaries, and then there's Tumisho the actor. I mean, come on. know, if you weigh it up, the balance of the mashas are really, really, you know, taking over the world, except the one, you know, the black sheep.
Yeah. Exactly.
You know, so there's an industrial doctor, there's actuaries, there's, and then there's Tumisho.
I'm going to play Monabisi next.
Yeah, I think
when
so.
When I do a comedy, because I'm doing comedy next. I'm
you do play comics. This. I saw you there.
Yeah, well, let me not say that. I'm going to play.
You won't do it.
No, I won't do it. I'm going to play Monabisi, that funny uncle who's always outside knocking with a cord in his hand. Okay, so we're talking to Veli Ndaba as well. How are you doing, Veli?
I'm doing awesome.
Tell us a bit about yourself. I don't want you to feel like sikuvaleleng aphandle, yazi.
You know, sometimes things happen.
Yeah.
But yes, my name is Veli and the surname is Ndaba. Like you've just earlier said that if you say Veli Ndaba, others think that it's just one word.
Veli Ndaba.
Yes, Veli Ndaba. Yes, I was actually born in Soweto, Mdeni. That was in 1972. That was 43 years ago.
Not too long ago.
Happy birthday, Prophet.
Oh, no, thank you. Yeah, I've just celebrated my birthday about 3 weeks ago, on which I launched my book, You Are Born to Win. Awesome. Because I truly believe that we are all winners, but we just have to find the right keys, and tools and techniques to do
that. So what's your background? Before you wrote the book, what were you up to? What were you doing when you got that inspiration? Specifically also in the professional field.
Yes, my background is mechanical engineering. Mm-hmm. That's what I did at University of Joburg. It used to be called Witwatersrand Technikon.
Okay.
And, yes. And I did that and I started working for companies. I worked for Transnet and I worked for Nampec as well. And then I worked for the company called Saint-Gobain where I was an engineering manager. And while I was also continuing in this chain of life, I wanted to further my studies because I felt that I was not enough at the time. And then I enrolled for a BSc degree in management science, where I specialize in statistics and, you know, and operations. That's basically it. And yes.
Okay. So what gave you the inspiration to write this book that we are born to win?
There are a number of things. I think I managed to learn some things that I felt that most people are actually missing, which is how to set proper goals, because it comes back to that. But it firstly starts with understanding yourself, because you can set goals, but if you don't understand yourself and you don't really understand your purpose in life, then you are doomed to fail, which is not something that you were born to do.
Yeah.
Because you don't want to make, you just want to make sure that you live, but not just exist. So when you do that, you need to make sure that you get a coach and then you need to set proper goals, which is something that I started doing where I, you know, do life coaching. And then which culminated in me writing this book, You Are Born to Win.
Okay, so Veli, just briefly, when you were writing this book and your own life story, how did those two things come together? I'm sure you had some serious challenges to get to where you were, getting your degree and that sort of thing.
I want to add to that because, I mean, for someone to do something as intense as writing a book and motivating other people, you must have quite a story to tell that has had ups and downs. Mm. Surely lots of downs as well, and you've managed to get through them. So I think that's the key thing. People get through the, get to the downs and they don't know how to get back up.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I think the first thing, you know, when I was 10 years old, I lost my father, and which was something that really knocked me. Mm. But I did survive that, and I was left with my mother, who was so inspirational to me. Mm. And at the age of 18, I lost that mother of mine, and my life was just like almost a mess. Mm. And when she left me, I was with my brother. I have four siblings. I'm a fourth one. So when I was left with this brother of mine, who was the eldest brother, 2 years later, after my mother had passed away, he also died. And I never believed that, you know, life really meant so much for me. Mm. And I nearly gave up. Mm. But I sort of like, you know, I held on and then I continued. And at some point I realized that it's not about really your background or what has happened to you, but it's about what have you learned from what has happened to you.
Mm. Because how did you hold on? You're saying that you held on.
One of the things that I did, I was reading books. I remember one of the books that brought me back in a game at the time was written by Dr. Schuller, who said, "Tough times never last, but tough people do." That book brought me back in a game. Yeah. And I realized that I was bigger than the circumstances around me. And that's when I managed to carry on. And I looked at it and I kept on reminding myself of what my mother used to say to me, that I'm so proud of you, my boy. So I want you to carry on. So instead of me just being broken down, I just keep reminding myself of those words.
And staying down, because that's the part where some people stay, and like you've now shown that you don't have to. I think it's fine for people, everyone goes through tough times.
Yes.
And that's a reality of it.
And these tough times actually are the times that build us up.
Yes.
I've never heard of anyone saying, I did it in life, or I am where I am today because of all the good times that I've had. But people always relate back to their bad times and those tough times. So to me, what I've learned is that we have to embrace them. But at the same time, we've got to learn from them. Because I said to myself, you know what? I lived that life where, my parents were making it. It was difficult to make ends meet. But I made a declaration and I said to myself, I will never live my life like that. And then I changed it. I turned it around.
It's a choice.
Yes. And
I want to hear from you, Masha, for a second. That you also started out studying engineering.
Yes.
And I want to get to your particular path.
Yes.
About how you got your bursary, how you got through that, because it wasn't automatic. Mm-mm. But after graduating,
you were also nodding about half
from
times.
Engineering, you went and did an MBA.
Yes.
Why did you do that? I mean, that sounds silly, but you're already doing quite well in NAMPAC. You're an engineer, and now you're gonna go study something difficult again.
I think I've always been a believer that learning is a process. Mm-hmm. So you could never learn to stop. The reason I did an MBA is that I knew that I was a born leader.
Okay.
But sometimes in society, you need a piece of paper to prove yourself. And I always say to people that when I went to study an MBA, I didn't study it for the certificate. I basically studied it to network, number one, which is funny. That was number two. I wanted to study it for the experience. I wanted to study it to challenge myself, which I did, because when anyone asked me what is the best thing about the MBA, it was the networks that I made and the friendships that I built, because it's quite grueling. It's quite tough, you know?
It is.
So in terms of myself, I went and I did my first year at UJ again.
Which was then VizTech as well?
Which was VizTech as well.
Okay.
And unfortunately, I failed my first year, hey?
Oh, my goodness.
I got there. I didn't hook up with you at the time, so...
You should have called.
I should have, but in any case, I would have been corrupted. But yeah, I think...
There we go. The truth comes out. The truth shall set you free.
I was hanging out with BC a lot at the time.
A good idea. Why did you fail?
I think... I don't know. It had to do with luck, I think, and... I think that me coming from where I came to coming to Joburg, there was not that safe environment anymore. And at some point, I was not coping. Just things were not working well. And it so happened that after I failed, VizTech doesn't play around. You fail, you go home. So the first semester after I failed, they wrote me a letter. Mr. Masha, unfortunately, didn't do so well.
Excluded.
Exactly. I had to go home. And I think at that time, my late mother, came to my rescue. Because she could see that my confidence was down. She knew that I was intelligent. And she said, you know what, Masha, how about if you want to build your confidence, go to a technical college in EFT. And we looked down on these places, but it was the one...
So you mean you were at Wits University at this time?
I went from VizTech, which is UJ.
Okay.
Yes, and then I went to an FET.
Oh, okay.
So you can imagine me, Mr. Like Engineer.
Uwele, boss.
Exactly.
Uwele.
Exactly.
It's where people learn to do woodwork and become mechanics.
No, that's not what they do, eh?
Oh, okay.
You should think about why does it cost you so much to have a plumber at your house.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And because we have it's a few of those.
From
FETs. And that's why in South Africa we've got a problem. The ratio has to be 1 to 10 an engineer and 10 technicians.
And 10 plumbers.
But in South Africa, you've got
one plumber and 10 engineers.
Exactly. That's why before they even come to your house, I'll charge you R1,000. Or boiler makers. Have we
got too many engineers? Is that what you're saying?
And at not this point plumbers. In time, we don't have enough technicians. I'm not going to call them plumbers, but they're technicians.
Okay.
Okay. That's plumbers, why they make the
boiler makers,
fitter antennas, electricians. We don't have a lot of them, and it's quite. If you're in that industry, it pays very well as
it
well.
It does.
It does.
Especially plumbers make more than I do.
Exactly.
Anybody makes more than you do.
I'm a household name. I'm rich and I'm famous.
Say what?
There's quite a few similarities.
Anybody makes more money than you do. Yeah. Poor okay. actors.
Stop picking
generations.
On each other, you two.
Yeah, I was going to say that after that, I went to an FET because my mother... And that was the nice part about an FET. I was so... The FET that I went to, if you get a distinction, they give your money back. So basically, I made a lot of money going to that FET. But then I went to my parents and I said, you know what? I need to go back. And I applied for a bursary with the Industrial Development Corporation. There was about 1,600 applications. And I was one of the 36 that got it. And I was one of the top 10. But I think when I asked, why did you guys give me a bursary? And it was That's mentioned that again. They've looked at my path. In terms of how I struggled, I mean, it's not nice going back to Ekasi after you failed, because you're no longer Mr. Vestek, you don't stay at Dress anymore, you just back Ekasi, you're selling Acha, which is what I used to do. I used to go from Mamelodi to Denebuam to buy my dad's Acha every day because we were selling Acha. And yeah, today you have an MBA, and unfortunately as well with Veli, my mother never saw me graduate. You know, the year that I had to graduate, she passed on. And when I was doing my MBA, in fact, I lost two of my brothers. I lost my older brother and I lost my younger brother. And I remember there was one day where I totally lost it because you had the pressure of the MBA, your own family, and
family
these losses.
You got three kids.
And three kids. Yeah, I must talk about that.
What? You've got three kids?
Exactly, yeah. Mom.
From where?
From space.
Sure. The stork
brought them. Sure.
Tumisho doesn't even have one and you've got three. What?
I think all you guys have got enough for all of us.
But I'm loving the two stories, man. Yeah. And there's quite a few similarities. Yeah. My question, though, is this: at which point do people want set what we call wrong goals?
Yeah.
At which point must people actually say, this is not for me, I need to go in a separate direction?
Yeah.
You know, because I'm sure we've pretty much all been through ups and downs, and there are certain ups where you just need to realize that I'm not meant to be going up this hill. Is there a distinction where you say, that ain't for me, I need to go in the opposite direction? And you're not necessarily saying I've failed completely, but you're saying that particular goal, which goes back to what you were saying, Veli, is actually not a goal that I should have set. It's an incorrect goal. Or am I wrong? Is there nothing such as an incorrect goal?
I think you're 100% right. For me, the one thing that I've realized is that if whatever that you set as a goal, as a vision, is not driven within, typically it becomes a bit of a challenge. Because, for example, Tumisho studies mechanical, I think is the coolest thing in mechanical engineering. Let me go do mechanical. And then at the end, you find that you lost.
Yeah.
But for me, since I was in standard 8, call it grade 10, I've always wanted to become an industrial engineer. And when it happened, and I qualified. And even today, you know, I always tell people I'm one of a few human beings that is always excited about going to work. I am that doctor of industry. I'm running these two plants. Issues.
Which is important. You're passionate about what you do. It wasn't something
about.
That you just did
because
it was either that or become an actor.
Exactly.
To answer your question, again, it's like we're talking to the schools. Yesterday we went to Crawford High.
Yeah.
Same thing. It's important to follow your passion. And I mean, you can, I think personally, you can tell me if you think I'm wrong, but I feel strongly about it. You can have a wrong goal.
Yeah.
You can have your friends.
Yeah.
Goal. Career goal, passion, or mothers or sisters, and it's wrong.
Or you can have a goal about money. Sorry, I'm going to get to you just now, Veli. You can have a goal about, rather, I want to get a career that will give me a certain kind of comfort materially, but that's got nothing to do with your purpose.
Yes. And
those
and
material
passion,
comforts
and your
passion. So your material comforts will never cover for your passion. Veli, you wanted to add to that, my brother.
Yeah, I just wanted to say something there, because you know, when you're young, it's unfortunate that you never know really what drives you. You just go with the flow. And for me, to do mechanical engineering, it was mainly because, you know, I got a bursary because I was told that, you know what, my maths was good, and the science was good too. And so, you know, I was an engineer and there was a shortage of engineers, and engineering pays a lot of money. I think we know that. And I did that until I completed it. But when I started working, along the way, I realized that this is not really what I wanted to do. It was okay, I was working on that, but it wasn't really my passion. But at the beginning, I didn't have to go really with what my passion was, because I had to take advantage of the opportunities at the time because I didn't have anyone to pay for my fees.
And you also just, you had to get out. You had to get out of the situation. You had to get out of poverty. You had to get out of Gassi. You had to do what was there that was available. The door that was open, you walked straight through it.
True.
Which is also a good thing.
And also what I did, you know, to show that, because after I graduated as a mechanical engineer and when I worked and I started realizing that, you know, for me to go ahead and do a BTEC degree in engineering, it's not really what I want. And then I branched out and I registered for a PSC in management science. And people are saying, but why are you not continuing and doing engineering? Because I realized that I was more interested in management than I was in engineering. Because there are guys who are so into design and that I really wasn't that kind of guy.
The thing that both of you mentioned that I think is really important for our listeners to hear, because a lot of people say they have a passion. A lot of people say they've done well in school and then they're finished and they don't know where to get a bursary now to go to university. How did you guys do it? I'm going to start with you, Veli. You say you were offered a bursary. By whom and how did this come about?
Okay, how it started, you know, when my mother passed away, mm-hmm. I think she had saved for all her life. I mean, for me, it was about 11,000 rands, which was the money that only covered me for a semester. Mm. And for me, I went there and I studied. I gave it my all. And I passed so well. You know, I had some few distinctions. And when you get good results and you apply for bursaries, and there's no way you cannot get them. And I remember the time I got 3. And I had a problem. But my problem was an excellent problem. Because
Wait. You had a white people's problem, to call it that, right?
Be careful now.
A white people's problem.
Yes, from Pretoria.
I hear you.
You know, Wilmarie, you won't understand what we're talking about, right? You had a problem of 3 bursaries.
Yes.
Wilmarie's from Denapur.
So you had to choose between 3 bursaries.
Do you even know where Denapur is?
Denapur.
Oh,
I do know what Denapur is. Do you know what Denapur is?
Of course I know. Is I can it? Draw it for you.
Is she not from Denville?
Can you? No.
Huh?
Is definitely she not from Denville?
No, definitely.
Yeah, she looks like a Danville pavement special.
You be careful.
But
I love you,
Wilmarie.
You
know, I love
don't
you.
Worry. Me and you, Wilmarie, are gonna go and.
Yeah, no, really.
Yeah, we're gonna beat him up after this.
I don't know
why the air thief is here. Oh my gosh!
I've got a question for Pravil.
Yes,
Pravil, you know, loss is something we never really talk about. How on planet Earth do you deal with loss?
He's now already said it. Did you not listen?
Yeah, but he spoke about death.
I think when I look back and I sometimes ask myself how I did it, but people always say that there's always a voice of reason that talks, I mean, deep in your soul. And you've got to listen to that. Because I tell you, it was just by grace that I did it. Because most people were in my situation, they ended up, you know, in jail. Because they just thought that life was, you know, was not worth it. But with me, there's something that kept me going. I think also because of the family values that my parents, you know, basically left with us. To me, that's something that kept me going.
It's a good foundation.
And it was tough. It was a good foundation because, you know what, when you had good parents, and I'm always saying, yes, at home, we were not financially, you know, rich. But in terms of values, wow.
Yeah.
We were opulent.
But here's the thing, right? Those values, they directed you towards applying for a bursary. Who are the institutions that you applied to, if you could just tell us?
I applied, the bursaries that I got them from 3 companies. Those companies were CIPSA, which is the one of the steel industries in an engineering space. And the other one was Nampec. And then the third one was Transnet, which used to be called Sportnet as well at the time. But the problem that I had was to choose which one.
Okay,
and then Sportnet came top.
Here's the thing, right? A lot of kids nowadays say that so-and-so is not doing this for me. Somebody's not doing it for me. Bursaries are only given out to white kids. Bursaries are only given out to black kids. Bursaries are only given out to Indian kids. Do you think that the problem today, I mean, even you, Masha, you got a bursary as well. Do you think that the problem really is either the kids don't know where to apply or they're not applying their minds to find out? There was no internet, I take it, when you guys were applying for these things. You couldn't just look it up.
I was going to go back to how I found out about industrial engineering. I was fortunate when I went to school, there was a program called ProTech, I don't know if a lot of you guys remember. So Protech was money was coming from an American company. And basically what they did, they established satellite schools in which on weekends you could go. And the nicest gift that I ever got from Protech, the most valuable one, was getting a book called Careers A to Z.
Okay.
So in that book, it will explain your careers in terms of A to Z, and it will also highlight which companies were offering bursaries associated with that. So I think for me, that was a good
start. Did they have acting in there?
Nah,
that's not a career. It's not a career. It's a hobby.
Of course it would have been in there.
It wasn't, actually.
No, it wasn't.
Back then, it was
acting is still not a career in that book.
You're only 36. Come on.
Yeah, it sounds like it's not that long ago, hey?
No.
So that's where you found out.
That's how it began. And the one thing that saddens me because what
So how did you know to go to the IDC? I don't understand.
I knew from the career A to Z.
Certain institutions?
What I did is that every company that was issuing bursaries at the time, I'll write to them. And remember the time there was no internet or anything.
You had to write a letter.
So I had to write a letter, a standard one with my horrible handwriting. Ask money from my dad to get me stamps and envelopes, and I'll have stacks of these things, and I'll send them to these companies. And what will happen, you'll send 100, 10 will come back, 6 will give you rejections, and then 3, at least you have an option of going for an interview, and then out of the 3, you somehow get 1. And that's what basically happens with us as engineers. If you're starting from a technical, and you have to apply to places where you're going to do your in-service training, which is how it worked out, and that's why I did my in-service training at Siemens as well. Yeah.
And then, so when did you realize, or when did you get this book? Were you still in high school, and what grade?
I was in grade 10.
Standard 8.
What I'm seeing these days, because I do a lot of motivational speaking for high school kids, somehow they lost.
They don't have the same things that you guys had?
I went to Pateng, you know.
A Bantu education school, exactly. And they had all those things.
I just want to add something here. Yeah. You're saying somehow they lost. I mean, I went to Crawford High yesterday and spoke to them
as
well.
It's a private school.
It's not, so what? It's still high school kids. But now, not kids that are lost. The parents play a role here.
I agree with you.
And we said this yesterday. We saw that. We can work on the kids from one side. We need to also, the parents have to take responsibility from the other side, and they're not.
And the teachers, if I may.
And the teachers.
But aren't the parents busy making millions? That's why they sent them to Crawford.
We're talking about what we said earlier, foundation.
Yes, and maybe just to add on that, for an example, my parents were not that educated. And to me, it was about driving myself. They didn't know what I was doing. You know, whether you come and you've got a problem with maths or science, they wouldn't help you.
But they were
just relying on you that you are doing the right thing. So I think they don't have parents, because there are so many parents that don't have a good, educational background. Yeah. And then you cannot really expect them to really help these kids. Yes, they need just to be involved. But I mean, like, how do you help someone, who is doing
maths? I suppose
maths
in terms of just being a parent and taking your responsibility, you need to be there
so they don't feel lost, to make sure.
Have you done your homework? Even if I can't help you with it, are you doing it?
Yes.
Can I watch it? Even if you're just drawing in your book or something, can I just watch that you're doing it? Is that what you mean? Like, your parents were not educated, so they couldn't necessarily help you with their maths homework, but they motivated you. Yeah. They coached you. They made sure that you sat down and did your homework, and you weren't out until 12 o'clock at night on a Tuesday.
Yes, and also, so Dumisho, I think with me, my parents, later on, they sent me to the rural areas, to go and study there, because they were just trying to move me away from the destruction in the township. And there would be nothing. There would be, you just go to school, come back home, study.
There
was nothing.
TV.
TV was just, there was that was not.
That was
not even there.
There wasn't even electricity to watch TV.
You understand? We used to use candles. But to me, it's not about what happens on the outside. It's what happens within you.
Yeah.
So that's something because I had a teacher who used to say, it was a principal who used to say, you can cheat me here, but life will catch out with you.
That's true.
And that's exactly, those are the things that I lived by. That's why I'm even saying even if I go to high schools as well and talk to kids, that results will always represent you. So don't just focus on you not having enough money to go to university, because you're not even there. For you, you just have to study and focus on what you're doing.
On what you're doing right now.
Yes, because there's YouTube. And it's so funny that you can get everything. Every second person has got a cell phone.
Yes, so
and they all
Google
have
and
Google
YouTube.
And YouTube. And on YouTube, I've just been showing others that you can just go there and say, for an example, and say, maybe using what? Logarithms, maybe in mathematics. I mean, there's a chapter you are taught that there's someone who's teaching you about that.
Oh, okay.
So there's no reason that maybe you can say.
But I didn't have access to it now. But here's my thing, right? I mean, like you said, you were in a rural environment, so you didn't even have electricity. And do you think that maybe we're getting softer as people nowadays? We're just getting, we're weak. People will complain, we don't have electricity, so we're not going to study. We don't have running water, so we're not going to study. And yet you went through both of those things. You didn't even have Google, let alone, I don't know if you had a library at your school. And yet you still got good grades at maths and science. Did you have tutors, after school tutoring, weekend tutoring?
No, we used to teach, I mean, we used to form a group and just help each other out on that. And then, you know, we'll have people, maybe we had completed matric, someone will just come and help us out, you know. And maybe one thing that I need to say, we didn't have, there wasn't a lot of things like there are today. Because I think kids are too much exposed to all these things that are happening, which I think is becoming a challenge because, you know, now to stay focused is actually...
But they have a lot of pressure. Kids have a lot of pressure. Yes. And we saw that yesterday. I mean, one of the teachers we met was the psychologist for the school, and that was so interesting to hear. And he says so many kids they have to help with depression just purely based on it's too much pressure.
What's this pressure, though?
Where does it come from?
Pressure is to achieve, is to succeed, is to get high, good, excellent remarks.
It's materialistic as well. But what's different to how we went through pressure?
It's personal and it is sport. It's a lot for kids, and then you still have to go home and deal with parents that maybe don't have that, like you said earlier, good foundation.
Maybe then can I ask?
There's a lot of things that come in, and then we hear that from someone like a psychologist who sees every day, you know, have to deal with the kids like this.
I mean, Veli mentions a very valid point, and yourself as well, Vilmarie, emphasizes that. Is there a lot of noise now in comparison to what was there in silence, which is what you can still find these days? I mean, are there disadvantages, pros and cons? And who speaks into you if there's too much? Because what I'm picking out here is that you're saying someone has got to speak into you so that internally you kind of understand where you're headed to. Do we have enough of that? Be it a brother, be it at school, be it a mentor? Or is it just a case of there's just too much noise, too many distractions, and yes, I've got many talents, but I'm trying to do everything at the same time, and then you get lost because now time has gone past and you're doing a little bit of that, you're a master at everything, but you know, is there too much?
I have to say, I don't understand that whole thing. I know I went to school in a very high-pressure environment. I was in boarding school.
Yeah, St. Albans, let's just drop it,
were,
to private school.
Yeah, say, you know, that's what it was. And by the way, I got a bursary to go there as well from SA Breweries. And I've been paying
and
them
look
back
how you're drinking
since.
Them. You're paying them back more than kind.
They pay for my private school. I have to pay them back. nonetheless, we had a lot of pressure there as well. You know, not only did you have to make it into the first team rugby, otherwise you're a nobody. The first team cricket, otherwise you're a nobody.
We had
extra murals. We didn't even, like, DSG was 10 km away. So if you wanted to see somebody, you had to walk there, and they weren't interested in us anyway. So you spent your whole afternoon walking there, and you still have to do well, you know, academically. And then there's extra murals, because we're in a whole bunch of extra murals. I was in the drama society, and you want to be the lead actor in a show that comes up. Plus I was in the band, the jazz band. So I have to practice my drums every day, plus play in the band and study. But you just do it, you know. My parents, I've always felt, were overachievers. So they put a lot of pressure on me. And they were always like, why are you into this, all this acting and sports and blah, blah? You should be looking at your books. So I think kids nowadays, that's why I say, I think they're a bit soft, man. There's always been pressure.
Soft.
You still have
sissies.
To look. Yeah, you when I was growing up, you still
bloody
had to
sissies.
Be the kind of guy who had a nice haircut, who on the weekends dressed well. There was pressure all around. And if your parents couldn't provide that, you had to find a job so you could get the nicest clothes. Because there was social pressure on top of school pressure.
So how can you say that's not pressure? So in other words, I mean, you've got an acting personality, so you act your way through stuff. Let's be honest. I had to learn to get a personality from a very early age. Not everyone's got that skill. So some people feel pressure.
You played first team cricket, right?
I played first team cricket, first team soccer, SA cricket, SA soccer. I did mid-mar. I was a straight A student. student, guys?
Yeah, yeah.
First
you
screaming?
You were probably on a bursary
guys?
As well. Yep. So you had to do
that. No. My parents paid through.
Seriously, your parents had to pay. Yeah. My parents were teachers, though. Interrupt.
Okay.
Seriously.
Apologies.
Okay.
If I may come in.
Anyway, you know what? I'd like someone else's feedback on this as well. If you guys
are not
going to
ask me, Wilmarie?
No.
Nepotism.
CliffCentral.com. Or you can follow us on Facebook, Cliff Central, or WeChat, Cliff Central as well. Just give us your opinion, because I think you guys are lost.
No,
you are lost.
No, I think
no. They don't make them like they used to.
Kids are soft.
Bloody soft.
How
you know
I look at it.
Love to see,
how I look at it.
10 years from now, we want to hear Monwa BC.
Exactly.
Because he's little
you
one.
Damn straight, you're going to hear from me.
Monwa BC playing at the next World Cup. I mean, you played first team cricket.
I've played first team cricket, first team soccer, first team tennis.
Hang on.
SA cricket, SA soccer.
We've got someone here. How old are you? You're 20.
He's
did you feel
away.
Pressure in
we
school?
We can't hear him.
What pressure?
He must now be in the microphone.
Yes. There's a yes. Yeah, there's someone. Come on.
From
you
what?
Have a lot, kids.
You feel pressure, but you deal with pressure. Life is about pressure.
You deal with it by
everyone went through school.
I was going to say that, you know, as time moves, society changes. You might be looking at the same variable, but as it hits you, the intensity increases.
Exactly.
If I look at a township,
if
I look at a township like Mamelodi, back in the days, you never had issues of Nyaoka. At the moment, Mamelodi is the capital city of Nyaupe. So that means that...
Well, for those who don't know, Nyaupe is a drug that is smoked.
Exactly. So now these
heroin,
kids...
Heroin, rat poison, dacha, and all sorts of other...
And remember, these kids I exposed a lot. And there's a lot of information.
Masha, you're just changing my perspective of you, hey? From an MBA student who's achieved to say
brilliant,
there's
you know?
Pressure. I mean, come on.
No, hang on, guys.
You know what?
MBA graduate.
Let the kids speak.
Masha, what you saying now? I mean, they're saying they have to drug test the kids.
Exactly.
But we got that.
We had drug tests.
Just Lance Armstrong was the only one who got away with it.
Kids where I went to school with were rich, so they could buy cocaine.
I'll give you an example.
Exactly.
When you're working, I was in Cape Town. When you're working at a plant in Cape Town, you have to firstly deal with gangsterism within. You have to deal with the issue of drugs. You have to deal with a lot of theft. Those things 10 years ago, they were not there, or even 20 years ago.
Masha.
It means that society is evolving and things are becoming more complicated.
I disagree with that, comrade.
Can I say something? Maybe let's bring it back to
we
your book.
We still have pressure now, though.
Because your book is about you were born to win. And I think consensus here is that either way, there's always pressure.
Yeah.
Yes.
Whether you're at school, whether you are in the work environment. I'm not too sure. How do you deal with the issue of pressure in your book? If not off the cuff of your head, how do people then deal with pressure? Because I think we can agree, it is there. There is no way you can say you have not been through some sort of pressure.
I think
socially,
that if you can't deal with pressure at school, you're not going to deal with pressure in life.
Yeah, if it gets too hot, get out of the kitchen.
Guys, the kids need tools. They need tools, and those tools come from there.
I'm not saying they don't need tools.
Well, Marie, you're still alive. We're all still alive.
Yeah. I'm
saying
they don't need tools,
but
I'm
saying that pressure.
We need to not cudgel kids anymore. Like,
exactly.
No one says spoon feed. You guys are not listening.
Pressure is normal.
They are not.
Deal with it.
Pressure
is normal.
It's normal.
But maybe let's hear how you deal with it.
Let's hear from someone who knows, right?
Yeah.
Let's hear from Ben.
Let's not interrupt anymore.
Yes, I think just going back to what you said before that, you know, tough times are the times that actually build us up.
Yes.
And when it comes to pressure, without pressure, really, life will then be so easy. Yeah.
Thank
we need
you.
Something that's going to be able to help us just to react to something. Because when there's too much pressure in your life, it means to you, you must just remain focused on what it is that you want to achieve. Because once you lose that, then you're gone. Because those winds, I mean, like that storm is going to blow you over. So for me, what is more important is just staying focused. You need to know what you want, which is something that we keep on doing, just motivating kids and talking to them about achieving your dreams, because we can all do that. It's just a mindset away. I mean, at first, no one could have thought that I'll do what I've done today.
Mm-hmm.
But it was because of
how did
focus.
You overcome that pressure? How did you overcome the pressure that the fact that your parents, for example, your mother had done an amazing thing that without an education, she'd saved 11,000 rand, which I think the value of it at the time would be over 60,000 rand in today's money, probably. And this is somebody who doesn't have an office job earning hundreds of thousands per annum. It's somebody who's scraping along, but they managed to put something away for you. But then you had your own pressure of where you're from in the township and where you're living now in the rural areas. And I'm going to come back to you just now, Masha. How did you get over that pressure?
I think for me, what kept me going was from the situation that I was in, it was important to tell myself that I didn't want to be there. I wanted to be out. I think for me, it was that money that I had for one semester, and I knew that if I stuffed up, then I was gone.
Okay.
So I had to give it my all because I knew that that was my ticket for me to get to the future that I want to be.
But it brings us back to what motivates you at the end of the day. And also, again, your foundation. Mm. I mean, you had that. You even said that yourself earlier.
I think in terms of the foundation, it's important because that money that I had gotten at the time, that 11,000 rands, someone could have taken that money and just mocked it away.
Mm.
But with me, I saw beyond that, because as a result as well, it wasn't just the money that was given to me. It's the money that was given to me as and when I had to register. I would go there and say, this is what I need, and then this is how the money was going to be released or was getting released.
Okay,
then it wasn't just given to me, but
so
it was also
a mini trust fund.
Absolutely. It was a trust fund.
Yeah. There you go.
So that's something. So to me, it's something that's very important, but it comes back to your background and your values.
Mm. Masha, you wanted to add something?
I wanted to say that as human beings, we all have different coping levels whenever we under pressure. And the one thing that I've seen over the past years, even when I looked at myself and my journey, is that one, I had sort of mentors in terms of support. Mm. So I had guys that have qualified as engineers, and those guys will come back, you know, and try and coach and mentor me. Also, it's all about who you associate yourself with. And as Veli has said, when I passed my matric, we had to form a group as well, Kokasi. And it was this group of friends that were determined to get to a goal. So that supported us because we had a different value system to your Kavela wearing boys or Kavela wearing girls type of thing.
The Rosmora.
Yeah.
So I think, did you have red Rosmoras?
Of course.
You still got them.
I'm sure you had those as well.
Mentors are important. You were saying a book is a mentor. You know,
I was gonna say that. Like for me, having grown in the industry, I've seen things have got more and more complicated. And about 6 years ago, when I lost my youngest brother, I was in the MBA. I had 3 kids and blah blah blah. I had to find myself a coach. And if it wasn't for that coach, I don't think I would have survived the way I survived, because I was dealing with a lot of things. So, and this is a sad thing that I'm seeing amongst us as black elites or young black successful guys or whatever we call ourselves. We don't go back.
Black diamonds,
whatever you want to call us. You know, young, black and gifted. We don't go back and plow back.
I see my eyes.
I think for me, that's the challenge. And last year, I worked on a project with about 15 matriculants. It ended up 10 out of those 10, I'm glad to say, and Masha, you contributed as well. Out of those 10, I'm glad to say about 6 went to varsity. 2 are studying at FET, 2 are working. But they needed someone like me to come back, give them my time, and it took us a whole year. And all I had to do was just give them an hour of my time once a week or once every second week. And I think that's something that has been lost as our generation.
Yeah.
Our generation is the one that has to be the turning point for South Africa in terms of giving back. Because what we thought was going to happen, we got to positions at the time that we got to them, which was the right, perfect time. Because, we're making money now. But then we forget.
But no one gave us those positions.
I'm agreeing with you. That's what had to happen where I had to be. But the problem that I'm having, it's the number of Land Rovers, Range Rovers, partying and all of that, forgetting that society is decaying at this point in time.
Yep.
That's my challenge at this point in time.
Okay, fair enough.
Masha,
you're not going to give me this.
There's an element there.
There's no time on Wabi.
Yeah, there's an element there.
In wrapping up,
we need a word from the wise.
Yeah. Is everyone meant to be a visionary? Is everyone meant to win and succeed, or are some people just meant to be mediocre?
Some people lead, some people follow.
All right, so
that is life.
So we are saying that, in as much as we say a lot of the young ones, or even in a work environment, people are pressured. Some people are like, look, please don't give me the pressure. Mm. Let me just lead my mediocre life. Mm. And at which point do you actually say, cool, you lead a mediocre life, or you are meant to be great, you are meant to win?
I agree with you, because it's okay also to just
look for
someone.
You've got to jump to the mic here today.
Now, what I'm saying is, to me, the reason why I'm talking about winning here, I'm talking about winning in a sense of, getting the best out of yourself. Winning is not about comparing yourself with others. We've got the Range Rovers and the Land Rovers and the Jeeps and that. But winning is when you set goals for yourself and then you improve. You better, you beat your own standards.
It's
That's what winning is all about, because we cannot all be entrepreneurs.
Yeah.
Truth,
yeah.
Be, truth be told.
I gotta
we cannot, but at the end of the day, it's about how do you improve your life?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, when I talk about winning, I mean, it's about, you know, setting those goals. And here I talk about how to set proper goals. Mm.
Yeah. But that goes for everyone. That's not only entrepreneurs.
So this book is not for entrepreneurs. It's not for the CEOs. It's for everyone who wants to improve his life. Because at the end of the day, for you to improve from where you are, you've got to be disgusted about the situation that you are in.
Okay.
Until you are disgusted about that situation that you are in, then you'll never grow.
I like that. Very strong words.
Where do we get the book?
At the moment, the book is available from my offices.
Okay.
Yes. And
so how do we get hold of you?
So how do we get a hold of you?
I'm available on, my email address is veli at velindaba.
Veli at velindaba.
Yes, veli at velindaba.
So V-E-L-I at V-E-L-I-N-D-A-B-A.
That's correct. .co.za.
.co.za.
And then also I'm available on my cell phone.
All right. Which is, what's your number?
Which is 083-304-304-9773.
9773.
Yeah, and I'm saying on top of that, you are born to win.
Fantastic.
With an investment of 200 rands, you can change your thoughts, you can change your mind, and then influence your life.
All right, I'm going to read the book and I'll give you guys a book review next week. Mr. Masha, anything to say as we close and we wrap it up? Just about how where you got to and what you'd like to pass on to others who are listening and need that inspiration right now.
I think from the beginning we said that it starts with you. One has to know what is it that they want from life. It's as simple as that. Too many times I meet a lot of young people, when you have a conversation with them, they just want to be an entrepreneur, wants to drive a Porsche, wants to be an engineer, wants to be an industrialist, wants to be a lot of things for a lot of people. It starts with you just knowing what you want, setting that vision, coming to Veli's book, setting those goals, and then putting a plan on how you're going to achieve those goals. So it's as simple as that. And then also make sure that you've got support in terms of mentors, in terms of coaches, in terms of people that have driven the road that could come and support you.
I've got a question for Masha. Masha, is that a Mont Blanc or is that a Cartier or a Tag watch?
It's a tag.
So he's hating on our Land Rovers and he's got a tag that can probably buy both of our cars.
I'm just saying.
I think you were saying we should have all those things. But also,
why are you talking on behalf of the man? Let the man talk.
Okay, we gotta go though. That's it. Pet.
Oh yeah, super. You can always catch me again at www.runforwealth.com. I'm running the Om Didam tomorrow. Should be fun.
Good luck. Good luck.
How many Ks?
50 Ks. First ultra marathon.
50
flights.
I might just win. Who knows? Come first.
Bye.
All right, guys. We're out of here. We'll see you next week. That was Black Life.
Black Life.